You've probably heard the term AI agent everywhere lately. It's one of those phrases people love to drop in articles, LinkedIn posts, and conference talks. But if you ask five people what it actually means, you'd probably get seven different answers, all slightly conflicting. Today, I want to cut through that noise. I'll explain in plain and practical language what an AI agent really is, how to recognize one, and more importantly, when you should use one. And because I believe in showing, not just telling, I'll walk you through a live demo of a simple agent that triages my calendar and my inbox. This tiny agent buys me back 2 hours a week, and I'll show you how to build something similar for yourself. No hype, no sci-fi, just enough structure that you can create your first agent today. Welcome to Data and AI with Mukundan, where you learn AI by building. Hey, I'm Mukundan. This show is about solving real problems with small, useful AI, things that you can actually use today. Each week, we pick one problem, build a simple workflow or tool, and talk through the decisions, what to automate, how to check quality, and how to make it reliable. If you're a builder, creator, or just AI curious, you'll leave with the steps that you can copy tonight. I spent years working in data roles, analytics, experimentation, marketing science, and one thing that I've learned is that I don't care much for buzzwords. I care about outcomes. When the idea of AI agents started hitting my feeds, I noticed two very different camps forming. The first was the hype team, declaring that agents will replace every kind of work we do. The second was the skeptics, dismissing agents as nothing more than a chatbot with a few extra steps. As with most things, the truth lies somewhere in between. Agents are useful when they can actually plan across multiple steps, reliably call tools, keep track of short-term memory, and adjust based on feedback. If what you're building can't do those four things, then you don't really have an agent. You just have a fancy autocomplete. But if you're looking for a definition that you can explain to your boss, here's the definition I use, because it passes the explain it to your boss test. An AI agent is a software that takes a goal, plans the steps it needs to complete that goal, uses tools to take action, remembers what has already happened, and adapts using feedback until the job is finished. I'll repeat that again. An AI agent is a software that takes a goal, plans the steps that it needs to complete that goal, uses tools to take action, remembers what has already happened, and adapts using feedback until the job is finished. That distinction matters because chatbots reply, but agents execute. Think of five essential pillars. Think of five essential pillars that make this possible. First, you need a clear goal or task, like schedule my podcast prep blog this week. Second, you need planning, which means breaking that goal into concrete steps, such as check the calendar, group tasks, propose time blocks, and send invites. Third, you need tools and actions. Things like calendar APIs, email connectors, or document fetchers. Fourth, you need memory or state, which records what's already been done, what failed, and what to try next. Finally, you need feedback and control. Critique loops, approval checkpoints, and retry logic that keep the system safe and useful. Where agents usually fail is when goals are vague, that guardrails are missing, tools fail without retries, or actions aren't logged. If your success criteria are unclear, your agent will be unclear too. Now, let's look at what is an agent versus automation versus an assistant. It helps to draw a line between three things: automation, assistants, and agents. Automation is a set of fixed steps that run the same way every time, which is perfect when inputs are stable and predictable. An assistant like a chatbot can hold a flexible conversation, but usually cannot handle multi-step execution. An agent, on the other hand, is both flexible and action capable. It can plan, choose tools, and iterate until the task is complete. A good litmus test is this. If you remove one of its tool connections, can it still make progress by planning another way? Well, if the answer is yes, you probably have a real agent. The answer is no, then what you built is really just a brittle macro. Now, let's look at tooling landscape without the buzz. Let's talk about the actual tooling, stripped of all jargon. At the heart of many agents are planners or controllers. These might be large language models prompting themselves in loops or more structured planners like trees and graphs that map decisions. Agents rely on connectors to reach into your ecosystem, as your email, calendar, Google Drive, Notion, Slack, databases, or the broader web. For memory, agents often use a simple scratchpad to hold state, a vector database for longer-term recall, or even task graphs to keep track of dependencies. Safety is non-negotiable. That means running in sandboxes, using approval steps, limiting permissions, setting rate limits, and running dry runs before executing live. A practical rule is to begin with just one or two tools and tie them to a single tight success metric. Well, I mean, as most people would say, just if you can't describe your user journey in three boxes, your input, agent, and output, then your scope is really too big. Let's look at some 5 everyday agent demos. To make this real, let's look at 5 everyday agents that you can build. One is a calendar blocker agent, which reads your goals, scans your schedule, proposes time blocks, and asks for your approval before, you know, then going ahead and creating those events. An email triage event labels messages by intent, drafts smart replies, and queues them for your review. A podcast prep agent gathers guest bios, compiles a briefing, and drafts questions so that you're never unprepared. An inbox to Notion connector automatically converts emails into tasks with the due dates so that nothing falls through the cracks. Finally, a data digest agent, which pulls yesterday's key metrics, flags anomalies, and drafts a summary for Slack so that your team gets signal instead of noise. Each of these starts small but compounds into serious time savings.
All right, quick lightning round to check our instincts before we build the live agent. I'll read a statement, say true or false out loud or in your head if you're on a train. And I'll give the answer after a short pause. An AI agent is just a chatbot that answers questions. True or false? If I remove one tool and the system can still make progress by replanning, I'm probably looking at a real agent. So I'm going to repeat this one. If I remove one tool and the system can still make progress by replanning, I'm probably looking at a real agent. True or false? Right. The third one is clear success criteria matter less than good prompts. True or false? So clear success criteria matter less than good prompts. Fourth one I have for you, chatbots reply. Agents execute across multiple steps. I'll repeat it. Chatbots reply. Agents execute across multiple steps. So is that true or false? Automation with fixed steps is best when inputs rarely change. TRF. Automation with fixed steps is best when inputs rarely change. All right, I'm going to do one last one here. If a tool disconnect breaks everything, you probably built a brittle macro, not an agent. Right? So if a tool disconnect breaks everything, you probably built a brittle macro, not an AI agent. Is that true or false? So I'm going to just give the answers in a second. But yeah, and yeah, here's the answers. The first one where the question was, an AI agent is just a chatbot that answers questions. The answer is false. The second one was, if I remove one tool and the system can still make progress by replanning, I'm probably looking at a real agent. This one was true. The third one was clear success criteria matter less than good prompts. This one was false. The fourth one was chatbots reply, agents execute across multiple steps. True. Fifth was automation with fixed steps is best when inputs rarely change. This is also true. And finally, if a tool disconnect breaks everything, you probably built a brittle macro, not an agent. This is also true. So if you scored 6 on 6, that's awesome. But if you haven't, you know, just keep listening and I'll be walking through AI agents in more depth in the upcoming episodes.
So now I wanted to do a more live build of a calendar plus email triage agent. Let's build one together. The goal here is to reclaim 2 hours by batching deep work and clearing administrative noise. Success is defined in 2 ways. By the end of the process, I should have 2 90-minute defocus blocks for work and 1 45-minute admin block added to my calendar for this week. And my inbox triage should leave no more than 15 messages unclassified for my top five replies. The plan looks like this. First, read my goals for the week from a text note or Notion. Next, scan my calendar for open slots. Then propose blocks aligned with those goals and ask for my approval before creating anything. Once approved, create events with clear descriptions and embedded checklists. After that, pull my 50 most recent emails and cluster them by intent. Reply, archive, delegate, or read later. Finally, draft replies for the most valuable threads and queue them for review. Guardrails keep the agent safe. Always do a dry run first. Only create items in a draft or tentative calendar. And never send emails without my explicit yes. If the calendar API fails, the agent should fall back by writing proposed blocks into a document. The email model's confidence is too low. It should stop at labeling without drafting. If you want to use agents at work, see, here's the thing. If your agent doesn't buy you time or create leverage, it's just a toy. Let's look at how we want to roll this out at work without getting fired. If you want to use agents at work, it would also depend on how your company is open with using AI agents. You can start with your own personal workflow so that you don't risk production data on day one. Ship a tiny agent with just one tool so that the scope is easy to control. And always add approval steps so that your teammates trust the process. Log every action so that nothing feels mysterious. And finally, share a one-page document that outlines the goal, the scope, and the outcomes. This builds confidence and shows that you're solving problems, not creating new risks. Now it's your turn. I want you to pick one recurring pain point. Maybe it's batching your calendar, clearing up your inbox, or prepping content. Define a success metric that would prove this is working. Write out a simple 5-step plan. Limit yourself to just one tool. Then ship a version 0.5 today. Remember, the goal is not perfection, it's just proof. We should always restrict the problem until it becomes impossible not to ship. Well, if this episode helped you, share it with a teammate or a friend who's drowning in admin work. That's exactly who benefits from agents first. And stay tuned, because this week we'll be going even deeper into planning techniques, how to make your agents reason step by step without wandering off track.
All right, quick writing round. I'm also going to do a more deeper dry run of my calendar and inbox. But you will see a link to this in the show notes of how I've done it for my calendar and inbox. And then you can also try to replicate the same. Here's the plan that I want to do. Right? This was no email sent, no events created because, well, safety first. But the plan is just 2 90-minute deep work blocks on Tuesday and Thursday from 9:30 to 11 a.m. A single admin sweep on Thursday from 2:45 to 3:30, and a 30-minute workout on Wednesday at 12:30. These slots, they avoid my 2 p.m. agent check-ins, leave my 4 to 4:50 p.m. focus hour intact, and won't collide with other things I have going for me. For inbox triage, the agent will classify the messages into reply, delegate, archive, or lead, or read later. It will only draft replies for the top 5 reply items, keep every draft under 100 words, and include exactly one next step. If the confidence drops below 0.7 on any email, it will label it read later and explain why in a single sentence. All of this is logged and I approve before anything would go live. That's the dry run spec. But if you want to follow along, I pasted the templates in the show notes, and calendar proposal approval checklist and the inbox coach prompt that you can paste into your own ChatGPT. Let's hit it.
Before you go, I just wanted to let you know that I record with Riverside. I'm an affiliate partner, Riverside. They helped me record this episode and they have amazing audio quality. So that's something I just wanted to recommend if you're ever deciding to do your own podcast. This is a great platform to record because their editing features are amazing. Their AI editing is, I think, next level. Helps you remove all awkward pauses and gives your sound a strong voice. It gives you a strong voice. So I would highly recommend Riverside as the reason why I chose to be an affiliate partner, because I actually use the product and I love it. So link to join their platform is in the show notes. And again, I'm an affiliate partner. So if you make any purchase, I may make a small commission from it. I also host an RSS.com. Also, I'm an affiliate partner of RSS because they have an amazing distribution channel. They are able to publish your episodes from RSS into Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Deezer, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and even lets you publish your episode with one button into YouTube as well. Did I forget to mention that you can start making money by hosting on RSS.com, even if you have just 10 downloads a month. So that's all you need to make money, 10 downloads a month. It's a new feature they started and it's amazing. So again, link to joinrss.com will be in the show notes. I'm also using Cider.ai to help with my research. So if you are interested in any research for your content or for in general, you want to learn about anything, want to read research papers or any kind of thing to improve your knowledge, Cider.ai is your platform to use. So again, I'm an affiliate partner and I'd love if you're able to support the show by clicking on my affiliate link and joining Cider.ai. Hey, it's Mukundan. If this episode helped you, two tiny favors that make a huge difference. Rate the show 5 stars. On Spotify, you can just open the show page and tap the star button. On Apple Podcasts, scroll to the bottom of the show page and tap 5 stars. Also, leave a 1-2-line review on Apple Podcasts. Tell me one takeaway. I read every single one and it helps more people find the show. That's all for this week. Thank you for joining and I will see you in the next episode of Data and AI with Mukundan, where you learn AI by building.